Thank you, Naomi. Thank you, Conference, that welcome. And thank you in particular that Naomi got the applause that she deserved. It wasn't just introducing me. Because it was a welcome for me and a reward for Naomi from a vibrant, growing party, united and confident, building on successes, making a real difference to the politics of Northern Ireland and to the lives of its people. Positive achievements and achievements for everyone. Isn't it great to be back at Conference again? A big attendance, a bustling exhibition, great interest from both traditional and social media, and most important, to be in a party with a vision, a party with values, a party with a united, strong determination to take all of Northern Ireland forward. Not like those who are hung up on taking one constituency back. More specifically, those who want to take East Belfast back from the progressive path that East Belfast took 5 years ago. Because when we celebrated Naomi's win 5 years ago, even those of us who believed it was possible, and that wasn't everyone, didn't realise the impact that that victory was going to have. For the first time ever, an elected Alliance MP in the House of Commons, questioning ministers, successfully amending the law on transparency, playing a full part in the Northern Ireland Select Committee, and in all-party groups, dealing with the London media. Naomi has been promoting our vision and our values in Westminster in a way that would simply not have been possible without her being elected. Truly a huge step forward for Alliance and a huge step forward for Northern Ireland. Now, it isn't easy to move from being one of the team in Stormont to being the team in Westminster, but Naomi has done so and she has done us proud. Naomi has shown beyond any doubt that when Alliance promises to take Northern Ireland forward, Alliance delivers. Against all of the commitments that Naomi made 5 years ago, she has delivered. She's delivered for Alliance, she's delivered for Northern Ireland, and of course she's delivered most of all for her beloved East Belfast. In the service of East Belfast, she and her fellow MLAs, Judith and Chris, and their staff have endured pickets and firebombs and death threats and intimidation. But under threat, Naomi looks to me like she's made of the steel which could match the shipyard and the Titanic she's just talked about. In the heat of debate, whether it's a TV studio here or Westminster, she's shown passion, intellect, integrity. In serving her constituents, she works like nobody I have ever seen before. That's why the people of East Belfast elected her in 2010, and that's why I'm sure they're going to elect her again this year. Because unlike Peter Robinson, who described his number one target as returning East Belfast to DUP hands, Naomi's number one target is taking East Belfast forward. Her priority is people, not party. But in doing so, she's spectacularly delivering for both. Looking to the future, I think we'll look back and see that electing our first Alliance MP will come to be seen as one of the defining moments for Alliance. Not a flash in the pan, but a very significant staging post, a very significant part of stepping forward for all of us. Although, Conference, I must confess that I've personally spent a little time recently looking back. A few weeks ago, some of us gathered at a restaurant in South Antrim to celebrate my 25 years as an officer of the party. Actually, those of you who know this party realise it was just an excuse for a fundraiser. But those 25 years have been a time of huge and tremendous change. Change and then growth for Alliance. The shattered hopes of the Brooke Mayhew talks, the stagnation of the mid-1990s, the Good Friday Agreement and the referendum, the stop-go of the First Assembly. Those were tough years for Alliance. All the emphasis at the time was on propping up the SDLP and the UUP. Governments and commentators said that getting the nicer representatives of each side together to work a few fixes was the way forward. Well, how wrong they were. Those parties failed the test of uniting our society. It's easy in the turmoil of the chaotic relationship currently between the DUP and Sinn Féin to forget just how dysfunctional the UUP-SDLP relationship was when they were in charge. Despite the potential of Good Friday 1998, the efforts to keep power sharing going via the SDLP and the UUP proved pointless. The next few years saw Alliance consolidate its position until it became clear that justice was to be devolved and no other party was going to be trusted to lead that sensitive department. It showed clearly that Alliance, stepping out of the divisive politics of unionism and nationalism, provides an absolutely indispensable alternative. Whether or not other parties admit it, an absolutely indispensable alternative. There is no way that traditional sectional politicians could be trusted with such complex and delicate issues. But I believe that the last 5 years has demonstrated that when it comes to delivering for everyone in our community, rather than one section or another, Alliance can be trusted and Alliance can deliver. Well, the people must agree, because just weeks after I became minister, Naomi was elected MP. A year later, an extra assembly seat and votes right across the region meant that Stephen was able to join me at the executive table. I hear comments all the time from within universities and colleges, as well as the skills and training sector, emphasising the step change in his department compared to his SDLP and UUP predecessors. Stephen's... Stephen's vision is underpinned by a conviction that the talent and tenacity of the Northern Ireland people is central to growing our economy, and that investing in education and training is the key to empowering individuals and creating a modern and dynamic economy. And his record of delivery is recognised everywhere I go. I'm privileged to have him as a colleague at the executive table, and this party should be very proud of what he's achieved in your name and for the future of our community. When we look back as recently as the time the Assembly was suspended just 8 years ago, we can see a clear line of growth in size and in influence for Alliance. I fully believe that we can claim to have made a real difference. That success hasn't just come from any sort of good fortune. It's come about because of the efforts of a great many people over the years. Let's never forget the vision of Oliver Napier and Bob Cooper and the small group who had a dream of a better Northern Ireland and founded this party to be an alliance of all who shared the vision. Some who worked in those early days are in this hall today, still leading change, and I'm extremely proud of you. But it wasn't just the founders. We wouldn't have achieved the success we've achieved if it hadn't been for all those members, the people who knock doors and stuff envelopes, who pay their subs and run the fundraisers, who kept this party going during the difficult days. Thank you all for being the foundation which all of the party's achievements in recent years have been and continue to be built on. And Alliance has a magnificent team of public representatives in councils, the Assembly and Parliament. I like saying that last bit, in Parliament. It's a real privilege to lead the Stormont team. I'm proud that though we come from a diverse range of backgrounds and we can disagree on many things, we are absolutely united on the fundamentals. Even on sensitive issues of personal conscience like abortion, in our team, we can have rational, thoughtful discussions. Of course, as public representatives, we depend hugely on our staff team, who provide us with the help that we need to put forward the Alliance vision successfully. So to Debbie, Lauren, Sharon and Sam in headquarters, to Ben, David and Nuala in Stormont, to all our constituency staff in the different offices, and to Christine and Richard, our ministerial very special advisors, a very big thank you to all of them. And there's another group of people who don't often get thanked but make a huge contribution to the success of the party, the families of our elected representatives. You know, there are occasional evenings out for the spouse of the leader of the Alliance Party, but there are far more missed meals and far more messed up family events. So to Anne and my kids, and to everybody else's family for the parts that they've played in losing out, thank you for all of us. For For everyone who supported us, the year since Conference 2014 has been something of a roller coaster. Just after Conference, we went into the double election campaign we've talked about for the new councils and the European Parliament. Not everyone who stepped forward then for Alliance got elected. There were difficult new boundaries and a few near misses, but I know that a bright political future awaits a number of those candidates. But remember, we were told we were going to be wiped out as a result of the flag protests. And just look what we did achieve. Representation on 7 of the 11 new councils, from Causeway Coast and Glens to Newry, Mourn and Down. Enough strength to secure powers of call-in on a number of them. An increased group in Belfast. An increased group in Belfast despite everything. With a stronger grip on the balance of power in City Hall, ensuring that issues there are decided on their merits and not on a sectarian headcount. And the European election, 47,000 votes. 47,000 people wanting to take Northern Ireland forward. Our best European result ever, surpassing even the vote that Oliver Napier got in 1979, the month after he so nearly won East Belfast. A vote which came not just from our heartlands, but from every part of this region. So thank you, Anna, and all those who stepped forward in the council elections to put forward our voice. But let's remember, our work doesn't stop when the votes are counted, because that's when the work actually begins to deliver on those commitments and put our principles into practice. And the events of this year have just shown how badly that is needed. Because alongside Alliance's successes, the sense of stagger and stagnation, of crisis and collapse that characterises politics here for months was overwhelming. Just remember, Peter threatens to resign over the OTR scheme. Martin threatens to withdraw support for policing because Jerry gets arrested. Peter then threatens a graduated response to the lawful parades commission determinations and marches all of unionism to the top of the hill. Well, actually, rather to Twaddell. They've sat there for 600 days, burning up £15 million of the police budget that they pretend they care about and putting the lives of officers at risk from terrorist attacks. But the nonsense continues. Gregory's pathetic but abusive curry mayo yogurt crack. Jerry's Trojan horse. Sammy's likening of a Sinn Féin MLA to a brainwashed ISIS recruit. The budget crises. June, July, October, December. The all-night brinkmanship talks that they seem to thrive on, but the public just roll their eyes at. The inefficiency and the ineffectiveness that arises from the distrust between them and their mutual fear of losing votes on their respective extremes. Believe me, Conference, 5 years of seeing how these people attempt to run a government, the television series Number Twos isn't so much comedy as reality TV. Meanwhile, in a more serious world, investigative journalists expose cover-ups of sexual abuse, misappropriation of public funds, and attempts to inappropriately influence decisions of public bodies. And of course, a few gestures get thrown in to suggest that things aren't so bad. But the gestures simply reflect how little we have progressed. A couple of weeks ago, DUP and Sinn Féin reps suggested that for the First Minister to visit West Belfast was somehow groundbreaking and historic. You'd have thought he'd have visited South Georgia or Pitcairn. What poverty of ambition for this society when they get excited that 7 years after he takes office, Peter Robinson visits West Belfast. They quote C.S. They quote C.S. Lewis, that day by day, nothing changes, but when you look back, everything is different. Well, I say back to them that for the people of Northern Ireland, 21 years after the ceasefires, 17 years after the Good Friday Agreement, after 12 years of devolved government, things aren't half different enough in Northern Ireland. The constant political games damage our economy and divide our community. Combined with abuses of power and privilege, they corrode public confidence in the political process. Reasonable people say, why bother? Turnouts fall, and no wonder that the vox pops on the radio are so relentlessly disparaging of what passes for politics at Stormont. But the opportunities to move Northern Ireland forward are there. Time and again, governments in London, Dublin and Washington have pledged their support. But what do they get in return from tribal politicians? Half-hearted agreement, the difficult issues kicked down the road, and yet more crises. Remember, our concerns with the Stormont House agreement were not with what was agreed, but what was not agreed. Events since have fully justified my description of the agreement as a deal to make a deal. The refusal of other parties to engage in a meaningful way on the issue of parades and flags keeps the pot boiling because that serves their electoral strategies regardless of the consequences. But we did get some agreement on new ways to deal with the past. Alliance policies and proposals can be seen strongly reflected in that area, and I'm working hard to ensure that the DOJ delivers for victims and survivors. And we secured agreement that a crucial aspect of dealing with the past is reconciliation. Northern Ireland needs healing as well as remembering. Much of the Stormont House process, of course, was driven by money. Long-term mismanagement and populism by other parties finally caught up with them, as we had long warned it would. Months of financial crisis came to a head, alongside the campaigning for years by the business community for the power to reduce corporation tax. Stormont House committed the UK government to deliver on the latter and the executive parties to sort out the former. The two are absolutely linked. We can't reduce corporation tax without a sustainable budget plan. Our worry remains that the other parties want the benefits but won't face up to the necessary work. Conference, let's be clear. Alliance supports the devolution of power over corporation tax and the opportunity to set the rate level with that across the border. However, nobody should believe that corporation tax alone is the silver bullet that will transform our economy. No inward investor is going to say, I like your tax rate, I don't care whether you've got skilled workers. Some of the other parties get that point, but Alliance goes further. Yes, we need skilled and qualified staff, but we also need to invest in our infrastructure and improve our planning system. We need a real and coherent focus on sorting out everything that is holding our economy back. There are other issues too that the traditional parties would like to ignore. They ignore the chill factor when scenes of street disturbances and stories of sectarian squabbles feature on the media right round the world. It's a total government approach that's needed, addressing all the factors that could help us grow our economy. A big vision of a transformed Northern Ireland with a stronger economy, effective government, a future-focused skills agenda, a vibrant shared community that retains its talent and attracts investors and tourists. So what happened when Stephen sought to address one of these issues, the fact that we train far more teachers than this society needs at the expense of the university courses on which economic growth will depend? Nationalist politicians leapt to the defence of St Mary's College, and unionists responded to bang the drum for Stranbullis. One for me, one for you, politics, rather than a sensible decision on prioritisation of scarce resources. Stephen's decision was called into the executive, where he won the hands down. Oh, I wish you could have seen the way it went as he demolished every argument put up against him. We won the argument, we lost the vote 11-2. This was a perfect opportunity to demonstrate that the executive parties didn't just sign up to Stormont House for some kind of Wonga deal from George Osborne. An opportunity simultaneously to tackle duplication, to restructure services, to take a step towards integrating education. But every other party, all four other parties, bowed to sectional interests. So the result, young people will continue to be trained as teachers for careers that don't exist, and many of those who wish to study STEM subjects will have to leave Northern Ireland, meaning they're less likely to return and help become wealth creators here. To put the absurdity of the decision in even more stark relief, the other party's decision means that we continue to artificially inflate the number of teachers we train while simultaneously announcing 500 job losses for teachers. Even Tim McGarry couldn't make that one up. So much for the backward-looking party's fine promises of supporting reform and restructuring. Sectional politics wins with them every time. The devolution of corporation tax is the right thing to do, but it will only be achievable if parties are prepared to face up to the big challenges of driving out the waste that comes with maintaining division. If they can't be trusted to stop interfering when alliance reforms would save £2 million, how do they have the nerve to claim they can be trusted with finding £200 million to fund corporation tax? This week's crisis raises even bigger questions about the future of the agreement, even of the institutions, and I don't know who to be more frustrated with. Is it the SDLP, who sat silent throughout the Stormont House discussions on welfare reform, didn't object to the agreement that was presented to the government as the basis for all the other financial commitments, and then pursued a shamelessly populist agenda on the welfare bill as it made its way through the Assembly? Or is it Sinn Féin, who turned a full 360 degrees, opposing welfare reform, agreeing to implement it, and then opposing it once again, and perhaps just yesterday doing a further U-turn, because there was a hint of that yesterday? But that looks like they might just be seeking to postpone the crisis for another 3 years. In this party, we believe in solving the problems, not just evading them and postponing them. Whichever of them is being more cynical, more disingenuous, more stupid, let me be absolutely clear where the blame will be if this agreement falls. It will lie with every MLA who signed the petition of concern for last Monday's debate, Sinn Féin, SDLP and the Green Party. Don't let them get away with claims that it's all about protecting the vulnerable, because it's not. It's about protecting their own votes. We can't protect vulnerable people if we have to take another £200 million out of public services or to fund further adjustments to benefits. We can't protect the vulnerable if we have to take hundreds of millions out to pay fines to the Treasury. And we can't make the step change in job creation if we can't afford to reduce corporation tax. Their actions on Monday will damage jobs, damage public services, and damage the most vulnerable, not so much left-wing as utterly incompetent. But perhaps, conference, that's too far down the road for them to care about. What matters now and next year are the Westminster and Assembly elections. Votes. Forget the vulnerable in the long term and focus on the party in the short term. That's their message. But of course, it's not just the nationalist parties whose compass is determined solely by votes. It's clear from the DUP in particular that every decision, every initiative, every vote is fed by a calculation about what the effect will be on the election results. Even the proposer of the so-called conscience clause let it slip on television it was all about votes, indeed votes in East Belfast. And by the way, isn't it strange? The unionists opposed proportional representation. They said the X vote was better. Yet whenever a Westminster election comes round, they try to cobble together pacts to undermine a fair fight on the rules that they claim they prefer. But after the spectacle of 40,000 bogus leaflets over the flags issue, and the violence and the intimidation that followed, none of us should be surprised at the dirty tricks that our opponents throw at us. If they can discipline one of their own councillors for sticking to her principles and telling the truth, we can expect more of the same. But we will campaign this year and next, as we campaigned when we won East Belfast 5 years ago, standing on our record, promoting our positive vision of a changed, transformed, united Northern Ireland. Just a few months ago at his conference, ironically in this very hall, the DUP leader made his speech. You might have thought that he would want to overturn the Sinn Féin majority of just four in Fermanagh and South Tyrone. You'd have been wrong. He named East Belfast as his number one target. He wants to take it back. That's what he said. Take it back in every sense. The key passage was an attack on this party and what we stand for. Well, you'll be pleased to know, Naomi, in particular, that I don't intend to reply in kind, because you all know I don't actually do bile and venom as well as Mr. Robinson does. But I am going to respond to his charges. I am proud that in this party we know how to treat flags with respect and fly them in the right place at the right time. We don't use them to mark territory like dogs on a lamppost. I am proud that in this party we respect the rule of law and we uphold the determinations of the Parades Commission, established by Parliament to deal with a mess on the streets caused by some parading groups and some protesters. I'm proud that Alliance representatives have stood firm for the rights of everyone in this society, including the female majority and religious, racial, and sexual minorities. I'm proud. I'm proud that we, and only we, take a responsible approach to public expenditure, including proper consideration of fair and progressive taxation and service charges. Boasting about paying the lowest household charges in the UK does nothing to provide services to those in most need and cuts no ice when ministers take the begging bowl to the Treasury. So that's my response to Robinson's attempt to demonise Alliance as flag-lowering, parade-stopping, gay marriage-supporting and water-charging. As for his claims, we're holier than now, well, we're not. But I'll tell you something, we are more committed to transforming Northern Ireland than you are, Mr. Robinson. We are more effective in government than you are, Mr. Robinson. And we will work harder to make our vision a reality than you, Mr. Robinson. Remember, it was Alliance who forced the DUP and Sinn Féin to publish a shared future strategy. It was Alliance who led the demands for it to be strengthened. It was Alliance who proposed what became the Haas talks. Alliance who pressed the governments to step up and take on their responsibilities when those talks failed. Alliance ensured the Stormont House Agreement included a commitment to an independent audit of how divisions impact on the delivery of goods and services. And it will be Alliance who works to hold parties to account on their commitments. It was Alliance who kept the promises of double jobbing and Alliance who led the way on transparency in public life. In government, it's Alliance ministers tackling the big issues, facing our responsibilities, delivering change, managing our budgets, advancing a shared future, reducing unemployment, upskilling the workforce, reducing crime and reoffending, making our communities safer and less divided. Because, conference, that's what the people of Northern Ireland want and need. They need political stability, political integrity and a genuine commitment to uniting this community. So in the face of this latest crisis, what are we to do? Give up and go home? Withdraw from the executive and let them do their worst in two more departments? No. Like our founders and all those who promoted the Alliance vision of a radical alternative, we refuse to stand by and let our community suffer. Instead, we commit ourselves to the task of securing political stability, demonstrating political integrity, and building a genuinely united community, to the task of mobilising all those who want a different, better future to step forward with us. And those people are out there. You know, the biggest protests in Belfast this year haven't been about flags or marches. They've been about facing down racism and championing diversity. Poll after poll demonstrates the overwhelming public desire for integrated education. People want change. Our task is to convince them that stepping forward to vote Alliance will bring that change closer and that voting for the other parties or not voting at all pushes it away. We need to remind people that the UUP are sitting on the Twaddell Camp Committee alongside the DUP and the PUP. The so-called moderate Gavin Robinson stood grinning outside the court beside Ruth Patterson the day that she admitted a charge of sending a grossly offensive communication. To remind people that no other party in the leaders' talks was prepared to back our proposal for a moratorium on flags decisions to stop new councils being distracted by divisive arguments. That the SDLP, Sinn Féin and the Green Party, between them this week, put the very future of our political institutions in real jeopardy and the public services they claim to defend at risk of further and, frankly, dangerous cuts. Conference, history has left us with the legacy of a society with two groups of people with two diametrically opposed views on a whole range of issues. They've maintained those differences for a century, while the rest of these islands, Europe, the world have changed beyond recognition. But to suggest that every person in Northern Ireland falls into one of two camps is simply arrant nonsense. We're a much more complex society than this, more diverse and more open. We see that when we engage with others who are concerned about the environment, about animal welfare, about international issues. We see that when we engage with those who are running integrated schools. We see it when we speak to a host of those working in local charities and community groups. The constitutional position of Northern Ireland is not the defining issue of everyday lives. It is time that our political structures and our political system were reformed and recognised that. The truth is... The truth is that we are saddled with structures that storm which make building a united community harder, not easier. There's too much emphasis on protection for sectional interests rather than promotion of a shared future. We've seen in recent weeks and months that there is no likelihood whatsoever of the sectional parties doing anything about this. Change has only happened when Alliance councillors, Alliance MLAs, and Alliance MP and Alliance ministers have stepped forward and driven change. Our task is to set out now a bold, radical, but realistic vision of what Northern Ireland could be if people step forward with us and make it happen. A Northern Ireland where we take big steps forward, where we can afford to take big decisions on corporation tax because we're prepared to take equally big decisions about tackling wasteful division, where we don't insist on one-sided policies on flags or decisions on parades, where the first priority in new councils is making local communities better places in which to live, work and play, not what flag to fly, what language to use on the letterhead, or what to sell in reception. We need a Northern Ireland where we celebrate the things that unite us rather than commemorate the events that divide us, where children are integrated in schools, genuinely integrated in the classroom and in the playground, not segregated in a so-called shared campus, and where those schools deliver for all our children, not just some, where our colleges and universities are supported to educate and equip young people with the knowledge and the skills that they need to contribute to society and to compete in a global marketplace, where we have a health service that is effectively reformed and restructured to deliver world-class healthcare, where politics is known for delivery and not dithering, where politicians work to unite people and to build confidence rather than divide them and play to their fears. That's the Alliance vision. Because the Alliance vision is unique in Northern Ireland, a message to motivate and inspire people, a message to take to the doorsteps in the Westminster campaign and to keep on promoting to next year's Assembly elections and long beyond. The same message of aspiration and ambition for our community that motivated you and me to step forward and join Alliance can motivate many thousands of others to step forward and vote for us. So let's go from this place, committed to that vision, to making it a reality, determined to build the kind of future that our community deserves, and not just deserves, but so desperately needs. Not looking back, but looking forward. Stepping forward to take Northern Ireland forward. Conference, that is our challenge this year and next year and beyond. We have to keep the councils and the Assembly stepping forward. We have to keep East Belfast stepping forward. We have to keep all of Northern Ireland stepping forward. Let's go for it, and we will succeed. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.